from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. My soul sings in your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul and how my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever in your power and majesty. I lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice towards the heavens, for you are my sword and shield. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. My soul sings in your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul, oh, how my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever in your power and majesty. Lift my hands, lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice towards the heavens, for you are my sword and shield. I lift my hands, lift my hands, lift my heart, lift my voice towards the heavens, for you are my sword and shield. Oh Lord, I love you. My soul sings in your presence, carried on your wings. I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Love you so much, Jesus. Said I love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Let's just give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. He's worthy of praise. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you so much, Father. Amen. He's so good to us. Amen. Amen. Just sing a little song. It's a little simple chorus. I don't know if anybody else knows it here, but sing that song. We dedicate this temple to you. Amen. How many want to dedicate their life to the Lord Jesus Christ afresh every day? Amen. Amen. Lord, we dedicate this temple to you. Send your fire upon the altar and make my heart true. We will glorify you, Father, in all that we do. Lord, we dedicate this temple to you.
Lord, we dedicate.
Lord, we dedicate this temple to you. Send your fire upon the altar and make my heart true. We will glorify you, Father, in all that we do. Lord, we dedicate this temple to you.
One more time. Lord, we dedicate.
Lord, we dedicate this temple to you. Send your fire upon the altar and make my heart true. We will glorify you, Father, in all that we do. Lord, we dedicate this temple to you. Oh, Lord, Lord, we dedicate this temple to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. How many are glad to be back for second service? Amen. Amen. Just sing one more song before we go into prayer. Let's just sing a song. We sang it Wednesday, but peace of God cover me. Amen. How many are glad to have that peace of God that passes all understanding? Amen. To cover you whenever you have a need of it. Amen. And we just want to live in that peace of God each and every day. Amen.
Peace of God cover me. Cover me. Cover me, peace of God, peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me.
Only in you, Lord.
Only in you I am safe. Oh, and only in you I'm secure. And only in you I find peace. So cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is small. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me. Cover me.
Peace of God.
Peace of God, cover me.
Lord, cover me.
Cover me. Cover me. You're my peace of God. Peace of God, cover me. Through the storm, cover me.
Only in you.
Only in you I am safe. Oh, and only in you I'm secure. And only in you I find peace. So cover me,
hallelujah, Lord.
Cover me. Hurting, cover me when I'm not strong, cover me when I am going through the storm, cover me when all cover me when my faith is small. Let the peace that passes all I understand cover me. Cover me.
Amen. He's worthy. Amen. How many would say with an upraised hand tonight, amen, that you'd have a need for the Lord? Amen. Just to grant you a request upon your heart. Amen. Amen. Let's ask Brother Larry if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also the tithes and the offerings. Amen.
Lord, as I was just sitting there just now thinking, Lord, that we are your vessels and we have such a desire to be filled with your Spirit. And I'll say it like this, that Lord, we just give you permission tonight to clean all out that is not of you, Lord. These things that we go through on an individual basis as a church, Lord, they're meant for our good. And sometimes we look at those things and wonder, why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? And we just pray for understanding and peace through these situations, Lord, that we're in. Lord, we'd also reach out in such a yearning for our brothers and sisters that could not make it, Lord. We believe that we're going as a group, Lord. We believe that we're going to make this body change, Lord, by your grace, Lord. And so we also ask, Lord, that you bless our brother Troy. We appreciate the vessel that you brought into this assembly, Lord, to speak to us and to admonish us, Lord. We're so thankful for that. We also commit the tithes and offerings to you, Lord, and the remainder of service. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Just sing that little song, amen. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. How many are glad to have joy tonight? Amen. 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 How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Great, great joy. Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is
before we sing that, why don't you greet your neighbors? As our pastor would come, just sing that song, there's no one like Jesus, amen. Amen. How many searched all around? Couldn't find anybody, amen. Amen. There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like Him.
God tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody able to press back. Amen. And we're looking forward to the word of God. Oh God, put us in that sweet pasture and take us higher in revelation and higher in the Lord tonight. I tell you what, we just have a lot to be thankful for, you know, when we hear a message like that, just really draws close to home and really wants to get the Lord right in the right spot in our lives. So I consider, you know, that's a good sermon when it makes you want God more. Amen. So we certainly just appreciate our brother, just a real masterpiece before the Lord. Amen. And we're looking for more tonight, but maybe we'll sing one more song, and if our brother's ready to come out, we'll get him get the atmosphere ready for him. And anyway, I have a song on the top of my head, and I can't think of what it is. So just give me a moment here, and we'll try to see if I can find it. We got Praise the Lord, I Saw the Light. That's what it is. We got that one? Let's see if we can bring that up here. Yeah, that's the one. I like how they sing this down in South Carolina. I can't quite do it like that. We went down there. They made this song live. It was nice. It was really nice. But we'll try to sing it by the grace of God. And are you glad you saw the light? Amen. Lord has revealed us His word. Amen. Very blessed.
For I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. Oh, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And Jesus came like a stranger in the night and prayed.
Sing that song, Keep on the Firing Line. Might have to see if we can do this, all right? So good to be with a church full of grace and mercy. Amen. Let's see if we can sing this. Amen.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, just keep on. If you win, my brother, sure. on the firing line. And if you win, my brother, surely you must find. Just keep on the firing line. And there are many battles that we all must face. If we die trying, there is no disgrace. Cowards in this service will find no place. Just keep on the firing line. Hallelujah, we must fight, be brave. Against all evil, never run nor even look behind. If you win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. One more time, oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil.
Satan will try to make you weary out, but that's what the refreshing of the Holy Spirit is for. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Good to see everyone here again in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's a good place to be.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ keeps all of his appointments, and he is here tonight. Amen. There's never an appointment that he hasn't missed. Amen. When two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be right there.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just open in our Bibles, if you would, or to we'll go to Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to speak a message called A Change in Relationship.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 17. We'll read the 24th verse there. And it says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received the tribute money came to Peter and said, Does not your master pay tribute? And he saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take tribute or custom? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and for thee." Amen. Now let's go over to back a chapter to Matthew chapter 16.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. And it says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he saith unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye yet not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand? I spoke it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word once more tonight, Lord, we're just asking you to come into this room, Father, that you would touch every heart, Lord. Lord, because we're just come back for a little bit more, Father, knowing that you are completely able, Lord, that you have more for us, Father. So we come before you with open hearts, Father, just waiting to see what you do in our presence, Lord. We turn our hearts completely over into your hands, Father. We surrender our entire being, our thoughts, our mind, our actions, everything, Father. And we just surrender ourselves into your hands, Lord, and just ask that you would come and minister unto us this evening, Father, that we could leave this place and say, surely it was good to us that we came to the house of the Lord tonight, for we didn't hear from man, but we heard from God tonight. Lord, that's what we're asking for, Lord. And Lord, we're just expecting nothing less. And we thank you, Father, for all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Like I said, I just want to preach a message called A Change in Relationship. You know, God, He's a God of relationship. He likes to commune with His people. You can see that down through the ages, how He has been constantly coming by His believers' place. Coming by wherever they're dwelling at, wherever they're staying. He likes to just come by every once in a while and pay a visit. Sometimes it's just a surprise visit. You know, I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden had the presence of the Lord come in your car or something, you know. I remember I went and I met some brothers once at a coffee shop about 5 minutes from where I worked. And I stayed there a little too long and I was going to have a hard time getting to work on time, you know. And it's only 5 minutes away from work. And I got in the car and I started driving. I was in a hurry and all of a sudden a song just came out of my mind. And wouldn't you know it, between leaving that coffee shop and getting to work, I got drunk in the spirit.
Amen.
And I got out of my car and I was singing that song that said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And something about that just hit me so hard that day. I was singing that on the way to work. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be rejoicing and be glad. And I got up to the door of my work, and they have a revolving door. It has a little card reader on it. You know, you swipe your card, your badge, and the door starts moving. And one of our vice presidents was coming at the same time. And he said, hey, how's it going, Troy? You know, and I said, this is the day. And I was like, this is the day. And I started thinking, amen. I didn't realize I was saying, I was like, amen. I started walking through the revolving door, and I was almost looking up at the sky, just going, amen. I was just thinking what the Lord is showing me. And I just walked through the door, amen, amen, amen. And he was just kind of looking at me, you know, and he's like, okay. But suddenly, I was in the presence of the Lord. And you know, I don't know if you ever had the experience where you're in a hurry, and you say a little prayer about something you need real quick, and you say, oh, Lord. I just need this or that, and all of a sudden God answers it real quick, and you're like, oh Lord, I wasn't hardly expecting or having faith for an answer, and God just comes down and answers it. But sometimes, you know, we don't even deserve such things as that, but yet God does it anyhow. He's just little tokens of love He gives to His bride, you know, and throughout your whole life, you know, we have many relationships in life. You know, we have relationship with your mom or with your dad when you're young, or with your friends, you know, and maybe your dad when you're first as a young boy or young girl, you know, your dad, he might not be able to put a whole lot of trust in you, you know, but as you get older and he starts, you know, teaching you the things, whatever it is, if he's mechanical or if he likes to build things or if he's a good gardener or whatever it is that he has, you know, he starts teaching you those things. And pretty soon, you know, you start showing a little bit of interest in something, and all of a sudden, you know, it gets to the place where, you know, he can send you to go do something. Right. You know, like my boy, if I tell him, you know, go get a ladder and change a light bulb, he'll go get a ladder and change a light bulb. But when he was three years old, he couldn't do that. Amen. But you know, as he's getting older, the relationship is beginning to change.
Amen.
Because now I'm being able to put more faith in my children than when they were first, you know, so young, you know. And as they get older and older, that relationship just begins to change.
Amen.
You know, and as you, like when you get a new job, you know, and you go and you meet your new boss for the first time. And, you know, and he's just kind of looking at you, you're looking at him, you don't really know each other yet, you know, but you're starting a new relationship. And he doesn't necessarily know what you're capable of, but he's getting ready to find out. You know, as you start working, and you know, like any Christian, a Christian is one person that's going to work anyway. You know, and so when a new boss gets to know and find out his worker is a Christian, you know, and find out he's a hard worker, then he starts, well, it's going to put him to the test. And then he starts giving you more and more responsibilities. And over time, after 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, pretty soon your boss has, the relationship's changing. You know, like my work, my boss, his office is 300 miles away from where I work. You know, so he has to just trust that I'm down in Des Moines doing what he tells me to do. But the relationship has changed over time, you know, where he can just send off an email, I want you to do this, and it gets done. Because it can't be that the relationship stays the same day when you had your interview. It's got to keep going on. It's got to grow. It's supposed to be greater and greater and greater. You know, and the same thing, like, say, when a newlyweds, you know, when you compare newlyweds to someone who's been married for 50 or 60 years. Well, that relationship is quite a bit different. It changes over time. You know, when a husband and wife first get married, you know, they don't necessarily know all the things that their husband or their spouse is capable of. But over time, they begin to find out, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. You know, my wife, I used to scare her to death when I'd tear apart the bathroom and take up the floor and, you know, and tear down the walls and all this. And she's like, can you get that back together or not, you know? But over time, you know, the relationship changed. She begins to see your capabilities, you know, and what things you can do. And the relationship changed. And now, after, you know, we've been married now for 16 years or so, and now she knows she can, if she has a need, she can say, you know what, I need this. Sure. And I know her good enough that I know if she needs something, you know, maybe it's even something that I really don't want or I don't really care for. But it's maybe something I don't have expertise in, like some kitchen utensil or something, you know. And I don't know anything about kitchen utensils, but if she says she has a need for it to make her life a little bit easier, then, yeah, you can go buy that. Our relationship is that way, you know. And if I say, well, you know, I need this or that, well, yeah, that's fine. It's whatever you need. There's a trust, a level of trust there, because after 16 years, the relationship has changed to the point that, you know, it just, we don't question one another. You imagine someone's been married for 40 or 50 years. It's just, they just are who they are, you know. You know, my wife and I, we'll have instances where we'll start thinking the same thing at the same time. You know, and it just gets that way to where you've gotten so close. You know each other so well, you can finish each other's sentences, you know. You think the same things at the same time or come up with the same ideas because the relationship has changed. It's not like when we first started dating when we were 15 years old, you know, we didn't really know each other very well, you know. Things have changed. Amen. You know, God is a God of relationship. Amen. And, you know, many of us here, I can imagine, have now been Christians for quite some time. I don't believe there's, from the people I know in this room, that there's hardly anybody here that's a new Christian. I'd say most people here have probably been a Christian for quite some time. But, you know, your relationship with the Lord has changed over time to this point to where the things that, you know, when you first become a Christian, you know, you hear about this gospel, you hear about the promise of eternal life and of a God that will come and live inside of his people. And you don't necessarily know all that God, you've heard what God will do for others, but will he do it for you? And, you know, when you first come on this Christian walk, you know, the relationship, yeah, that's okay. It's like that. You have to kind of prove each other. You know, God has to, he puts you through the test, and you kind of put him through the test, and you lay up some prayers on the altar, and all of a sudden, just waiting to see if they'll come to pass, or he'll give you a test and see if you'll overcome this or overcome that, you know. And as you get to know each other, slowly the relationship begins to change year after year after year after year. You know, as I say, you know, if I'm sitting in my chair at home and the sun's going down, it's getting dark in the room, and I don't want to get up, I say, honey, would you turn on the light for me? I have no doubt in my mind but that she would go over to that light switch and turn it on for me. Amen. There is not one question in my mind that she would do that for me. She wouldn't say, you're just being lazy. Why don't you go turn it on yourself? She wouldn't say that to me. Because I know my wife. We've been married long enough that I know that sometimes she'll give me permission to be a little lazy sometimes, even when I don't deserve it. You know, and sometimes I'll give her permission to be a little lazy sometimes. You know, it's just, It's just the way we are. We know that sometimes we just want to relax and be lazy for a little bit. It's like, okay, I'll go the extra mile for you while you relax. You know, because the relationship has changed. But how much more so is it with the Lord that after so many years of being with the Lord, that if we have a need, something that's coming along life's journey, that said, Lord, I have a need of something. I have a need among life's journey. I have a burden upon my heart. I want to go over here and do this. Or I want to go over here and do that. You know, when in the parable of the talents, when the man gave one man 5 talents, another man 2 talents, another man 1 talent, he didn't tell him what to do with them. He said, take care of them. I gave you the talents. I'm going away and I'm coming back again. And when he came back, the one man had doubled his this way, the other man doubled his this way over here, according to whatever their bill was. But another man, he just took the talent and he just buried it in the dirt. And that was the man that God condemned. But the other men, God did not condemn. Rather, he rewarded them and he said, he'd take away the talent that is from the one and give it to those that have the more. Now, I wondered about that parable for once, and I thought, Lord, what does this parable mean? You know, and I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what a talent is? It's money. It's money. The man gave them money. And so what is money in God's kingdom? What is the purchasing power of God? Well, when I want to purchase something for the kingdom of God's sake, I do it through prayer. And how many times will people take prayers and just bury them down on the inside and never let them come out of their lips? You got something that you know you could do for the kingdom of God's sake, but you just, I wish that would happen. But you never spend the time in prayer to make it happen. You see a need in the kingdom of God's sake for the kingdom of heaven. You could be about your Father's business and you see a need somewhere. You don't know how to fulfill it, and you have all the power in heaven and earth is in your lips. You can get down on your knees in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I wish I was a better witness. Lord, I wish I was more on fire for your gospel. Lord, I wish, and don't you know that he would answer those prayers? And he's given you the talents to be able to do that? And yet how many people will take those talents and bury them down on the inside of their heart? And never actually pray those prayers to become what they need to become for the kingdom of God's sake. Like I said this morning, we have no business being about our business. We ought to be about the Father's business. It's worth it, saints. It's worth it. The relationship should change over time, over time, over time. You know, we read about Peter and the coin. You know, he talked to Jesus about the matter of the money, you know. And wouldn't you know it that when Jesus said, go and take your hook, throw it in the river. The first fish that you pull up, when you pull up, look up in that mouth, and there will be a coin in there. And that coin will be enough for my tax and for your tax. Now, what do you think? What do you think the thoughts were that were going on in his mind when he started going down to the river? Was he doubting or was he believing? So he goes down to the river, and I think he was believing. I really do. I think he was believing. And as he goes down to the river, he's thinking, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. I can't wait to see. This is going to be neat. You know, he's seen God do so many things. The relationship was changing in Peter's life. Because from the time when he first called him, when he heard his name called out, you know, that started a relationship. But now he's been with the Lord now these couple years now, and he's beginning to see thing after thing come to pass. The relationship is changing in Peter's life. And he goes down to the river, and he puts that hook down in the water, and he gets a bite right away, and he's like, oh my, here it is. And he pulls up that fish, and he takes the zip off the hook, and he's like, Lord, I can't wait to see what's in the thing. He opens it up, and there's a coin, just like the Lord Jesus Christ had said. Amen. Would you believe it that I'll bet for the rest of Peter's life that he could never doubt anything to do with finances ever again? Because he had to know that the same God that was still alive, still had more fishes in the sea, had more coins to put in their mouths. And that God was able to do whatever he had need of any time he had need of it. At that point of time, the relationship had to change. The relationship had to change. The relationship between him and his Lord could never be the same again. Because now he's seen God in action. He's seen God take care of a need. How could he ever doubt again? Like I said, the first time my wife ever let me be lazy and sit on the couch and turn on the light for me or made coffee for me when I didn't want to do it or something like that, it changed the relationship. And not that I take advantage of it, but I appreciate it. The relationship has changed. We trust one another. The same thing, you know, with the there Jesus was talking to the disciples. They'd forgotten to take bread. And he thought, and when they heard him preaching against the leaven of the Pharisees, he thought he was preaching against them. And he rebuked them and says, "Do you not understand? Don't you remember how we fed the 5,000? Don't you remember how we fed the 4,000? Get your mind off these carnal things. I'll take care of all of your needs, all the days of your life. Get your mind off the carnal so we can be thinking through the spiritual things." And it says, then they understood that he was talking about the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees. God has a desire that we could get our minds off these carnal things and not pay attention to the things of this day so we could be about our Father's business. That's why we came upon this life journey. Why? So that our relationship with him could change. So we no longer live just a normal, everyday Christian, you know, lukewarm life. But we know who our God is. We've seen him do so much. We know what he's capable of. You know, back home we have a restaurant that has a little sign on the wall in it, and it says something along the lines of, "We've done so much with so little for so long." And it says, "We like to think that we could do anything with nothing and in no time flat." And I like to change that a little bit. I like to think that, you know, I've seen God do so much with so little, with just a little prayer for so long. And I'd like to think that God could do anything and at any time I have a need of, any time I ask him. Because my relationship with God has changed. I've seen him in action. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen, you know, like one of my boys there had a milk allergy. And, you know, and he'd get food or milk on his face and he'd break out in little welts around his mouth and get food down, milk or cheese or cottage cheese or something down his shirt and little welts would show up, whatever it touched. And one day we just laid our hands on him. Just pray a simple prayer. "Lord, I just ask that you would heal my boy so that he wouldn't have this." It never happened again. Now the rest of my days, I will never forget that because I saw my God at work. I told you about the month ago when we went to that Indian village, you know, when I saw God went before us and prepared the village before we went in. You know, I'll never enter a village the same again. Every time from now on, every time I go into a place like that, I'm going to be watching. Where is the Lord working it? I know he's already been here to prepare the way. Amen. Brother Branham said that he was a little discouraged about something at one point in time, and all of a sudden he says, a real sweet presence came into the room. And he says, and the angel of the Lord told me, "Don't you ever fear to go anywhere or do anything, for the never-failing presence of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with you wherever you go." Mine, I think, boy, if Brother Branham could take a word like that, and we have words like, "I'll be with you, even in you, until the end of the age," what a comfort we ought to take that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When he is standing there with the blood of the covenant that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, just waiting for a prayer to come out of our lips to go up to the altar so that he can answer. What kind of a life ought we to live, and what kind of expectation? Now that we're not just young Christians anymore, we have a lot further down the road than we used to be. We ought to be. We know who we are now. Amen. We've had the preaching long enough. Amen. Brother Cam has gotten behind this pulpit long enough and preached to us the mysteries of the gospel. Amen. Brother Cam has preached all the fine sermons that he's preached behind you about the seals and about this and about that and about that. We've understood the message. Amen. We've seen what the promise of this age is. You know, Brother Branham said, when the church knows who she is, well, we're here, saints. Amen. We shouldn't be just sitting around thinking, "Oh, you know, well, I can't wait till the day that we know who we are." We know who we are.
Amen. Amen.
We've been taught to know who we are. It's been preached to us who we are. And it's time to put our foot down and say, Lord, I know who I am. We're a part of the mystical bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know who I am. I know that He loves us. I know that He cares for us. To know that we can do the greater works, that when we see a need in the kingdom of God, that we can get down on our knees and say, Lord, I have a need. You know, when I'm praying for someone that's too far away for me to get to them, say they're 500 miles away or 1,000 miles away or circumstance or someone I just don't know very well, you know, I can't quite get to them, you know, I pray. I say, Lord, there's got to be a righteous servant somewhere around them. Send your righteous servant by their way to preach the gospel to them. Because I believe God's able. So I was telling one of the brothers about a year ago, or a couple years ago, maybe it had been a while since I had witnessed anybody on the streets, you know, and I was just kind of missed it. You know, if you haven't witnessed for a while to someone right off the street, you just kind of miss doing that, you know. And I was praying, Lord, I pray you would send someone so I can just witness to them. Give me an opening. Give me a chance. And like the next day, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the Lord just inspired me. I saw a man walking down the side of the road, and something inside of me said, that man needs to be a Christian. And so I whipped my truck around, and I went, and I drove, and I parked in the parking lot, and I honked at the man, and he came up to my window, and I was, come over here, you know. And he came up to my window, and I rolled it down, and I said, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And I said, you should be. And he said, everybody's been telling me that. God, let me tell you right now, God has people in this city that I believe He has reserved unto Himself. Now I want you to think this. Somewhere in the vicinity of this city, God has someone that He has reserved to Himself. What does it take for you and them to meet paths? Is it by chance? Is it by accident? Are we waiting for the stars to align and for some mysterious thing to happen? But what does it take? You want to be a witness for the Lord. Where are your people that have a need? Father, bring them by my path. Lord, I want to be a witness of you and of your resurrection everywhere I go. Lord, I want to be about my Father's business. You know, He's able to answer those prayers. Why? Because we have needs. You know, we're supposed to be the Proverbs 31 bride to the Lord Jesus Christ, where He could look at us and be proud of the things that we do in His household. How He said, oh, all of her household is clothed in scarlet. It ought to be that way. The Proverbs 31 bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting everybody underneath the blood. Everywhere we go, it says that she takes her goods down into the marketplace, and her goods have value. They got a good sale, you know, and they attract the attention of the people. Where we ought to be able to go and, you know, and take our goods, take the Holy Ghost to the marketplace. Take it out into the street. Take it out into the work. Because we know that the God that we have inside of our hearts, that He answers prayer. We have a confidence in the God that we're packing everywhere we go. We have a confidence that we know that if anybody has a need anywhere, you say, if someone at work says, oh, my brother, this person over here has cancer, they ought to know that there's a God in here that can answer their prayers, and He's living in my heart. And if you want, I'll go over and pray for him. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Me and Him have a relationship. Me and the God of heaven have a relationship. Why? Because the relationship has changed. I've seen God do so much in my life that I've gotten to the place to where I just believe Him. I just believe Him. I don't know what to do. You know, a plumber plumbs pipes. An electrician works on the wires. You know, and a mechanic will work on mechanical systems. And a believer believes God's word. Amen. And believes God's spirit. It's my new occupation that I have. I believe God's word. And I wait till it comes to pass. The relationship has changed in my life. Now I can imagine Abraham, when God first called him in the land of Ur, he didn't know what all God was capable of. But as time went on, he began to realize that this God kept coming by his way, and he kept putting things before God. And you know, one day God came to him and he said, it was after he had met the king of Sodom, and he told the king of Sodom, he says, I have lifted up my hand to the Jehovah, And I will not take anything from you, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. Because I have lifted my hand to the Jehovah, and he is my provider. He is my supplier. And right after that, God showed up on the scene. And started giving him thing after item, after item, and after item. God gave him first he came to him and he said, Abraham, I am your shield. Then Abraham said, but Lord, you haven't given me any children. And he says, I will give you children. And he said, Lord, but I don't have anybody to inherit this land. And he says, I will give you a land. Amen. And then so all of a sudden, Abraham, the relationship's changing now. You know, he's already testified before the king of Sodom. And then in Genesis chapter 15, God starts just giving him things. So then Abraham goes and he creates an altar and he divides up a sacrifice and he puts it, and he divides up the turtle doves, and he divides up the lamb, and lays them there, and he goes, he sits down, and you know, people are like, oh, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Oh, how long are you going to wait there? I'm waiting for him to show up. And he sits there, and he waits, and the buzzards come by, you know, and the animals come by, and maybe a rodent over here comes by, try to eat off the sacrifice, and he shoos them away, and he's just waiting, waiting, and waiting. All of a sudden, God shows up on the scene. And all of a sudden, this smoking, burning light comes down and goes and passes between the sacrifices. And God tells him, I accepted the sacrifice by myself. Amen. He waited on the Lord and God showed up. Christians are people that wait upon the Lord. I tell you what, I got prayers that I have laid upon the altar right now. Some have been laying there for a week. I have other prayers that have been laying there for a couple months. I have a few prayers been laying there for a few years. But I know that my God will hear my prayer and answer them. I say, oh, is that just for you, Brother Troy? No, I'm sharing this with you to let you know the same thing. We are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have to, as I said this morning, we have to know what happens when the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ gets to praying. When she puts those prayers upon the altar, things happen. Amen. When you just put those prayers there and you say, Lord, I am trusting in you. And you know, like I said, in Genesis chapter 14, the king of Sodom came and tried to give an offering, give a payment to Abraham. And Abraham refused it. He said, I have lifted my hand unto Jehovah, the God of heaven and earth. Amen. And I will accept only things from his hand because I don't want you to say, I am the one that made Abraham rich. We know who we have served. We know the God that has called us. We know that he is true. We know that he is the possessor of heavens and earth. And we know that he has all things in his hands. And we've been Christians long enough now. We've been members of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ long enough. We've seen what his spirit is capable of long enough. And it's time to not be worried from pillar to post or wonder about this or wonder about that. But know that God, as your husband, as your sweetheart, as your husband, that when you go up and you say, Lord, I want to be about your business. Lord, I have a need to be about spreading the gospel. Lord, I have a need about this for my household. Lord, I have a need for my children who are going wayward or being disobedient or this or that, to put those prayers upon the altar and know that your husband is faithful and will not let those prayers rest until they be answered. The power of a believer's prayer upon the altar is unbelievable, unbelievably powerful. It's one of the most powerful things in the universe. As we read in Psalms chapter 18 this morning and saw how God moved heaven and earth because of one prayer. One prayer caused God to shake the heavens, caused God to jump on a cloud and ride down with thunder and lightning against David's enemies. And to know that the same God is able.
Amen.
You know, we come into this church, you know, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we sing all these songs. And you know, like we'll come into this room and we'll sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. To me, when we sing that song on a Sunday, we better be waiting Monday morning in expectation for a closer walk with God. If you come into this room and sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee, Granted Jesus Is My Plea," you better be waiting for the next day the next day you will have a closer walk with the Lord. Otherwise, why in the world did you ever sing that song in the first place? Why would you sing a song like that and not expect it to come to happen? If a song like that comes out of a son of God's lips or a daughter of God's lips, you better believe that that prayer, that's a prayer that's going up to the altar. And that God will move heaven and earth if you'll just take that and say, "Lord, I am singing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking it to come to pass." When those songs that we sing, we got to put faith in the songs that we sing. We don't realize that these are prayers that we're praying. This is worship. This is going up before the throne. We sing, "I will enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter into His courts with praise." We better believe one of these days, hey, we're going to enter into those gates. We're going to enter into those courts with praise and thanksgiving. You know, I had a dream a while back where I saw my feet walking through the gates and up in heaven, and I saw all of a sudden the gates closed behind. And for 3.5 years, we had a honeymoon with the Lord. The gates closed. Everything was sealed out. It was just for the bride, you know, as Brother Branham said, the honeymoon, you know. We sing, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me." If we sing that song, we ought to believe that those things are going to happen. Amen. Otherwise, why did you sing it? "The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you." My, if we sing all those powerful songs, and it's no secret what God could do. Do you realize that we're still living in Bible days? There are still Bible characters walking on this earth. The Bible isn't done yet, saints. There's still Marys and Marthas. There's still Timothys and Tituses. There's still Pauls and the disciples walking on this earth. And they may not have the same names, but they have the same Holy Spirit of the living God. They're still performing all the church is still writing a book of Acts behind it. And don't you worry. You think, I'm getting lukewarm, I'm cooling off. Then ask Him. Put a prayer upon the altar. Say, "Lord, I need a refreshing. Lord, I need to be revived. I don't want to be like this." Jesus said, "When I come, will I find faith on the earth?" Let me say, "Yes, Lord. You'll find it right here, Lord. You just come, Lord. I'll be believing. I'll be standing here believing every word that You said." Amen. Jesus was not a false advertising campaign. He said, "Ask what you believe, and it shall be done unto you." Like over in Esther, the king Ahasuerus told Esther 3 times, "Ask what you want. I'll give it to you, up to the half of the kingdom. Ask, ask, ask." He told her 3 times. Then he turned over to John chapter. Let me read this in John 14. Yeah, John 14:13. I'm going to read 3 verses here real quick. Remember, King Ahasuerus told Esther 3 times, "Ask what you will. It'll be done unto you, even to the half of the kingdom." What do you want? Here in John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it." Chapter 15, verse 7, he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will. It shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Then go down to chapter 16, verse 23. And it says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked nothing. You have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." These ought to be fulfilled, saints. These scriptures got to be fulfilled. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then there's got to be someone on this day here in June that's going to find out that Jesus Christ is the same today. Amen. On this day in June, if someone does not find out that Jesus Christ is the same, then that prophecy failed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Someone's got to make him the same today.
Amen.
Tomorrow will be called today's. When do we get there tomorrow? Someone's going to find out tomorrow that he's the same today. Got to happen every single day or the prophecy fails. So my encouragement to you is lay these prayers upon the altar. This is your God, is your husband. We're not just young Christians now. We've been Christians long enough. We've been down this road long enough. We ought to be asking for the greater things, so we can really be the bride of those strong eagles that men are afraid to approach unto, you know. And they were afraid to join themselves to the disciples because the fear of the God came upon the whole city. But would you like to see those days again? It's coming, saints. I believe it's coming.
Amen.
He's the way maker. He's the way maker. You know, when time and promise meet, it's one thing to have the promise. But when time and promise come together, it's like when they went down to the Red Sea, God told Moses, "Go down there to the Red Sea. I will be glorified in the eyes of all Egypt." So they should have went down there in complete faith. I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be good, though. They should have been in such an attitude of expectation. They should have walked down there and said, "This is going to be good." They had seen God do so much. Then we got down there, you know, when Moses went up and hit the waters, you know, with the staff, you know, this is going to be good. You know, you think about it, 40 years later when they had the Ark of the Covenant on the back of the Levites and they're walking up towards the River Jordan. They already had the testimony from the Red Sea. They already knew what God was capable of. They were walking up to that River Jordan and think, "This is going to be good. This is going to be good." When Jesus called to Peter and says, "Why don't you step out of the boat and walk on the water with me?" Right. You know, something rose up in Peter's heart. That's possible.
Amen.
Something of faith had to, because remember, he walked for a little bit.
Amen.
Something happened. Something rose up in his heart that said, "It's not just possible for Jesus, but it's possible for me also." And the bride of Jesus Christ has to be the same way. It's not just possible for the men that I read here in this book, but it's going to be possible for me also. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, it says that there's wise and foolish virgins. All 10 of them had lamps. You know, in Psalms, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." They all had the word. The word's all over the place. Every church has the word. Every church has this word. Almost every house in the country has a Bible somewhere laying around. But there are so many people that just can't get this thing to work anymore. And those foolish virgins, they seemed like they had something that they were called to take and make this work all the way to the wedding. To spread the light of this all the way to the wedding. But when it came time for the wedding to actually come to place, when it came time for the wedding to actually come to place, all of a sudden they couldn't get this to work anymore. They couldn't get the fire of God to come upon the gospel anymore. It became just a dry letter to them. They couldn't see this thing working anymore. Don't you know a wedding is coming, saints? It's time to make sure that this thing is working in your life. That you're bringing these promises are full in here. They're all over the place of things that God has done in other people's lives. And then we'll sit with little problems and not even pray over them. That's the shame part. It's not that we have problems. We know we'll have problems. But that we have problems and we don't lay upon the altar and say, "Lord, I am waiting for you to answer this prayer." The relationship ought to have changed to the point that we know that God is able to answer our needs according to His riches and glories. Amen. This relationship that God has called us on, it's a relationship that will last through all of eternity.
Right.
This is not just from now until we turn 70 years old or from now until we finally pass away or or something. No, this relationship is going to go on. Let me tell you, I'm never going to close my eyes and die for 1,000 years. God has made me an eternal being.
Amen.
I'm never going to go down into the grave. One day, you know, if this body does give out on me, I'll close my eyes here and open them up there. But it's just one, like Enoch, just one continuous journey, day after day, and all of a sudden he's in heaven. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah. That's how Christians are. We just keep going and going and going. Amen.
Yeah.
Like I said, the angel told Brother Branham, have not, here's the quote I got written down. He says, the Lord told him, have not I proved to be with you? And he said, then a real sweet voice came and said, the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. You know, blind Bartimaeus, just here in closing. I don't know, I assume everybody here has heard Brother Brown talk about the story of blind Bartimaeus, but I love that story.
Yeah.
Blind Bartimaeus was sitting there on one of the stones that fell out of the wall of Jericho, thinking to himself, this stone fell here underneath the power of God. And if I had been here in those days, I could have gone up to Joshua and said, oh, great, powerful, mighty one, I would that you give me back my sight. As he was thinking, you know, about how, you know, if I had been here in the days when Elijah and Elisha walked down this road, arm in arm, going down to part the Jordan, the same road that I'm sitting on, if I'd been here in those days, I would have ran up to him and said, oh, great prophets of the Most High God, I would that you would give me back my sight. Or if I'd been here in the days of Joshua when he met the man in the wilderness and he said with a sword at his side, and he said, and Joshua said, are you for us or for our enemies? And the man said, nay, but he drew his sword, I am the captain of the Lord's host. Blind Bartimaeus said, if I had been here in that day, I would have ran up to, oh, great captain of the Lord's host, I would that you give me back my sight. Do you know that we're still, and Brother Bartimaeus always said that little phrase, he says, little did blind Bartimaeus know that that same captain of the Lord's host was a little more than a few feet away.
Amen.
Little did blind Bartimaeus know that the captain, that same captain, was just leaving the city. And when he heard the noise and he realized what was going on, he said, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we're standing in the same boat. Jesus said, or Brother Bram said, that heaven isn't that far away. It's just over the doorpost.
Amen.
All power in heaven and earth, just right here. Just right here. Our prayers just go right there to the altar. I told you the testimony that I heard Brother Bram say the other day in the prayer line. He told the lady what she had been praying. And he said, I suppose you're wondering how I knew what you were praying. He says, I heard it at the throne. Her prayer had gone to the throne. And God is
Amen.
Still here the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's right here in this room
Amen.
Where two or three have gathered.
Amen.
And he says, if two or three agree touching any one thing, whatever you bind on the earth, I'll bind it in the heavens. That's why we do the altar calls. To make that scripture come to pass. Brother Branham, one time, he says, you know, there was a time when I had never seen that scripture come to pass that says, you shall take up serpents and they shall not harm you. He says, there was a day I'd never seen that scripture come to pass. And he says, but one day, me and some brothers went down to Florida. And a brother took off his boots to grab a fish that I had just caught. And waded into the water and he got bit by a snake. And that man's brother had just been bit by a snake not too far from there and suffered greatly for months and months in the hospital. And now this man got bit by a snake right there in front of Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, I had never seen that scripture been put to use before. He said, the first time I used it, it worked. Don't you know it? There's a lot of scriptures in here that I have not had an opportunity to use yet. But I believe that when I have an opportunity to get to using them, they're going to work. Because the relationship has changed between me and my Lord. The relationship has grown to the point to where I just believe God and His Word. I don't know what else to do. I just believe Him and His Word. It's just a simple, childlike faith. I believe God's Word. I'm taking God at His Word. Amen. That's just my encouragement tonight, that we just take, that's who we are. That's what we do. We just take God at His Word. Every single situation, we bring it to God in prayer. We pray often. We pray frequently. Lord, we want to see souls saved. Lord, we want to see people baptized. Lord, we want to see our children grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, we want to be a witness at work. You know, Lord, we want to be good to my spouse, to my wife. Lord, I want to be good to my husband. All these prayers we pray, we got to lay them upon the altar. Just keep putting them upon the altar. Just keep putting them on the altar and say, Lord, you remember that prayer I prayed a little bit ago? I'm still waiting, Lord, for the answer for that one. Remember, this is our husband that we're talking about. He is still the way maker. He's still the still answers prayer. Amen. Let's just stand. Amen. I hope the relationship has changed in your life. We're not the same as we were when we first came to Christ. We're a lot further down the road now. We're looking for a rapture one of these days soon. Brother Branham says, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're given everything you have need of on this life's journey from this day to the rapture. And I believe that. I just believe it. And I just, everywhere I go, I know God is with me. There's been times driving down the road, and I know that the presence of the Lord is in my car, and I begin wondering. I wonder if people start seeing a pillar of fire over my head or something, because I know He's here. I know He's here. I believe that God is so present with His bride. He keeps coming by our place. He keeps bringing His presence into this room, into our houses when we pray. He wants to commune with us. He's a God of relationship. He wants to meet you at your house when you're on your knees. He wants to meet you there. Then we ought to meet Him there. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray as a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have seen what a little prayer can do. Lord, You said faith was like a grain of mustard seed. When it's sown, it's small. But when it is grown, it's greater than all the herbs of the field. And Father, I know everybody in this audience here, Lord, has probably had several prayers that, Lord, they've placed upon Your altar, Lord. Myself included, Father. Lord, we just ask, Father, that You would go down and review every single one of them just now, Lord, and consider them, Father. Have mercy on them, Lord. Because, Lord, we're a needy people, Father. But, Lord, we're not so much needy because we don't have an answer, Lord. We're trusting in You. So, Father, as we are Your bride, Lord, and we're trusting in Your leadership, Father, Your leadership of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we just keep laying these requests upon the altar, Father, just asking that You would consider them, putting them up there for Your consideration, Lord, because we want to be about Your business. We want to be faithful, Father, in Your kingdom. Lord, I just pray, Father, for everybody here under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would not be burying their prayers down in their heart, Father, but they would place them up on the altar where they belong, Father. That the work of the kingdom could be established, Father. That they could be about their Father's business. That they would not let these things slip and slide, but really get to being about their Father's business, Lord. Yes. They could be that Proverbs 31 bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just ask that You'd bless this church and Brother Cam, the pastor, and every single one, Father. That the relationship would not grow weaker, but day by day and week by week would grow stronger and stronger. To the point, Lord, that the people, they just trust You. Every step, every moment, every turn, Lord, all they do is they trust You. And I thank You, Father, for these things. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Cam, if you'd just come. Amen. I trust the word is a blessing to you. Amen. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Amen. 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 God bless you, brother. Amen.
As our brother said it, brother and sister, so many of us have been sitting here
under the message of this hour for a decade, numerous years, some more than 2 decades, and just sitting here and you know, by the grace of God, look at how the Lord has kept us. I pray if we see anything in the maturity of the relationship of Jesus Christ that goes beyond, like I said, I mean, sometimes we try to judge God like he's only a supernatural God. If you understand what I'm saying, we judge God only by a miracle. We judge him by this supernatural thing that happened here. But when you look at just the mystery of God in his love towards us, that here we are after all these years, and we still have a heart for this message. We still have a heart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed of people we are. Oh, my. I mean, I remember when we first come in the message, and just he's right in front of me, so why not? You know, Brother Vincent, I remember him when we first come in the message there. I just love the Lord. And you know how things go. We just get out of contact. But just so many years down later, brother, sister, I see the same spirit on our brother. Just a sweet brother, just loves the Lord still. And Brother Larry as well, you know, just so, everyone, you know, and here we are, brother, sister. God has keep us. He's shown us that we can have confidence in him and his word. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I love it. Our brother read that scripture there. Was it John 16:24? And he was working with the idea that, you know, ask. Yeah. But, you know, you think about it, brother, sister. And the main reason a lot of times why we're not happy or this or that, he said, ask that your joy may be full. You know, and when you look at what prayer is simply that communion, that fellowship with the Lord. It could come, as our brother said, it could come in a song. You're actually praying that or communing that between you and God. And how can we be at a place, brother, sister, where we sit here and see God do so much, and we should be at a place where, God, I want to be happy in you. I want to ask for great things. And I believe that you're going to give it to you, because it was shown right in that scripture there that God wants to do that, because it will be something that actually brings pleasure to his bride. Oh, my. So, you know, why a lot of times do we look at the Lord doing things in our midst? Well, frankly, brother, sister, because he promised that he wanted to do that to make you happy. So how happy is God when you're not happy? And the reason you're not happy is because you're actually disabling yourself to enable him. So in asking the Lord and enabling the Lord, you're actually enabling a joy in Christ. Hey, there ain't no Benny Hinn up here preaching about prosperity preaching, brothers and sisters, but God wants us to be spiritually prosperous. Amen. In him. Amen. And, you know, like I said, and I've told this to a few of you, I might have told more of you, I don't know, but I mean, I remember a year ago, you know, I was kind of in a little valley, and I was sitting there, and I said, God, I hear so many people, you know, they'll kind of lift this brother up. They'll say, oh, you know, and I'll just say it like this. They'll say, Brother Brooks, you know, God has done so much for Brother Brooks, and you kind of look at that, and then look at how much God has done for a brother of Von Karen, and you hear all these supernatural stories, and I remember one time I just kind of got a little low about that. I said, God, I don't feel like much of a Christian like that. And then I just felt like the Holy Ghost just come by and started just bringing things that he had did for Sister Barb and Sister Betsy and Sister Hannah. And all these little miracles start rolling by, and just how we seen the pillar of fire. Seen a pillar of fire right above Dave's shoulder. I was up here, I seen the Shekinah glory settle down in that portion right there. I started thinking, I said, oh God. Oh, woe unto me, a man of unclean lips. Hallelujah. Because the whole time, brother, sister, we've been watching God do amazing things right in our own midst. And all it shows is that, brother, sister, God has been here the entire time. But if he loves us that much, and like I said, that's one of the things I just love about Brother Troy, because you know what? Here he is, and he is proclaiming, you look at Brother Troy, he knows he's a simple little brother. Just like you're simple. We're just simple people sitting here. But yet you can hear such a confidence talking about how real God is in a life. That's why we're here right now, brother, just because God is real, but do we realize he's so real in this room right now? That literally all things are possible right here, no matter how much you feel the walls are going to break apart or not, because he said he would fulfill his will, amen, amen, and his word, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you can see what I got from the word, but We're just happy to be serving the Lord in this time. Amen. How many believe God's going to do some great things for you as an individual? Amen? Amen. Well, our prayers, God heard that. He heard us sing some songs. And certainly we've heard the word and we received the word. If anyone has need of prayer, be certainly happy to pray for you. And we're going to sing that song. How about a promise for a little bit later, as a brother said? Let's sing that song again, just a closer walk with you.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what, we're going to have some close walks with the Lord tomorrow. Amen. Let's sing a song.
Well, I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, now Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh, and I'll be satisfied as long. Oh, as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Oh, and just a closer walk with thee.
Oh my.
Oh, now granted, Jesus is my plea. None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, now just a closer walk with thee. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, dear.
Hallelujah. Maybe we'll sing a song or so more. Amen. We'll just we dismissed our ways. Amen. But so good to see everybody come to the house of God. Keep Brother Troy and his family in prayer. Amen. And certainly pray that God continue to manifest those wonderful things in his life. Amen. I know I've always told that story. I don't even know if I ever said it was Brother Troy, but he was at Brother Gotti. They're sitting at the end of service and things were real quiet, and the Lord told him to stand on the chair and praise him. And he went and did it, and the Holy Ghost just fell down in the midst. Amen. That's what I love about our brother, just a real man of God. I just certainly appreciate the Lord faithful in his life. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, a good worship song, perhaps. Let's sing that song, A Light of the World. Amen.
Oh, and light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Oh, beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my together lovely, you're all together worthy, you're all together wonderful to me.
How we love you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious from heaven. You're my God. You're all together lovely. You're all together worthy. You're all together wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Lord, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. You're all together worthy. You're all together wonderful to me.
And I'll never know. Hallelujah.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. You're all together worthy. You're all together wonderful to me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing one more song. By the grace of God, perhaps we'll be dismissed. Let's sing that song if we can. Let's sing that song, Jesus Paid It All. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Oh, and Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of snow. For Jesus paid it all to him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, Jesus paid it. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. More time. Oh, and Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain, of the Lord. Amen.